We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I am your host, Herschel Finman. We have a very good show for you today. In this half hour, we will be talking about Poway, California, with Rabbi Avram Litvin, who is the head shliach from Kentucky. And he's got an interesting way of looking at it, which Lubavitch always has this thing about turning the negative and those bad occurrences, not to ponder on the bad, but to focus on how we can go forward and turning bad things into very good situations. And we're going to be talking about that. During this hour, we will be playing various and sundry a cappella pieces because we are in the days of Sephira, where Jews refrain from listening to instrumental music. And we might get to talk about that in the second half of the hour. In the second half of the hour, we will be talking about Parshas Kedoshim, which can be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16 and following. We've got a really good Hasidic story. Stay away. Stay to listen all the way to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Just as a note, in 24 years of doing this show, this is the first week that I'm opening up with a story not about Israel, but this is such a powerful story that needs to be addressed, and we might address it. It just came on my desk like about 5 minutes ago, and I said, oh, I wish I was talking more about this. But new legislation proposed by Representative Betty McCollum, who's a Democrat from Minnesota, would prohibit U.S. funding to any foreign military that detains children, including Israel. That's a devious way of putting it, because the bill is titled The Promoting Human Rights for Palestinian Children Living Under Israeli Military Occupation Act, H.R. 2407. It sounds like it's excluding everybody else, and would authorize the creation of a $19 million fund to support non-government organizations to monitor rights abuses pertaining to Israel's military alleged detention of children. Okay, let them go look. In other news, back to Israel, there was an exchange of rocket fire between Gaza and southern Israel. No one was hurt in the exchange. Several Hamas buildings were destroyed. Arab terrorists opened fire on Israeli bus in northern Samaria. IDF forces wounded one terrorist. A second terrorist remains at large. The Poway synagogue shooter, who will be not named because I don't believe in doing that, pleaded not guilty to murder and attempted murder. He is accused of being the lone shooter in last week's attack on Chabad of Poway that killed a 60-year-old woman and injured three, including an 8-year-old girl, the synagogue rabbi, and the 8-year-old girl's uncle. The New York Times is taking disciplinary measures against the production editor who gave the go-ahead to an anti-Semitic cartoon. The New York Times published a cartoon that depicted Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu as a guide dog wearing a Jewish star collar and leading a blind President Donald Trump, who is wearing a black yarmulke. And finally, a federal judge in Los Angeles ruled that the Nazi-looted painting, Rue Saint-Henri après midi et fête de pluie by Camille Pissarro, belongs to the Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum in Madrid and not the heirs of the Jewish woman who sold it before fleeing the Holocaust for $360. The painting is valued at $40 million. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have up for your listening pleasure. This is 613 a cappella. The song is Seem Shalom. Let there be peace.
Tova uvracha. Chein b'chesed v'rachamim aleinu. Ve'al kol Yisrael.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier.
Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This up next, this is the Maccabees, When You Believe.
There can be miracles when you believe. No hope is great. It's hard to keep. Knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe somehow you will when you believe. In this time of fear, when prayer so often proves a pain, hope seems like the summer birds too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here with hugs so full I can't explain, speaking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. There can be it's hard to keep,
it's hard to
keep. Who knows what a miracle you can achieve when you believe. Somehow you will. You will when you believe. Ashira, 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 Ashira.
And that was the Maccabees. We have on live Rabbi Avram Litvin, who is the head Lubavitcher Shliach for the state of Kentucky. We're going to be talking about Poway and aftermath and turning bad into good and evil into holiness and other like things. How are you today, Avram?
I am fine, thank God. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay. It is indeed an honor, and I'm just wondering why in 24 years of being on air, I haven't had an opportunity to call you till now, because you have such wonderful things
to
say.
I'm happy you started today.
We can make a thing of it. Okay, so everybody knows, unfortunately, these things are very, very newsworthy, and I just want to start. When you first heard about what had happened in Poway, California, where were you, and what was your first thought, Rabbi Litvin?
I was sitting in my dining room studying, and police came to my door. They had called the Chabad house, and no one answered. So our local police are very involved, and they came to the door to make sure we were okay.
Okay. And how did you react, needless to say?
We didn't get a lot of information. The initial thoughts that we got was that it was an attack at a Chabad house. They didn't give us much more information than that. Shortly thereafter, one of our non-Jewish neighbors gave us a little more information, and we soon found out the details as everyone else did and things unfolded. It was a great pain. It was a great hurt. I know Rabbi Goldstein for over 30 years, over 40 years. He was in the same group of students that I was. We spent summers together in camp. We went back a long time. And the whole Chabad family is close, but here I felt especially close to this tragedy.
Yeah, likewise, Yisrael and I were in Seattle together for 2 years, 24-7 for 2 years. That's like, that in itself is a whole story we could talk about. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe has focused on turning aftermaths from gloom into good. So you thought of a very interesting, very catchy way of dealing with this, and something which is very practical and hands-on, and that people right at home can play along. So tell us about it, Rabbi Avraham Litvin.
So we gathered together leaders from across the community, leaders of different faiths, civic leaders, and we made an event. And at that event, I presented a new way to look at Poway. I took the acronym P-O-W-A-Y, Poway, and I pronounced it as power of words and you. And the concept was that each of us have the power to use words either in a positive way or a negative way, especially in 2019, more so than I think ever before, with the advent of social media. A word that we say quickly reaches many, many, many thousands or tens of thousands of people very, very quickly. And therefore, the power of the word has grown even more than it has in earlier days.
Indeed. We talked about the power, I think it was Shakespeare, I think, talked about the power of the pen, and that was 500 years ago, and here it is. It's like the power of the electronic impulse. Okay, so elaborate further, please, Avraham.
It goes back even further than that. The Talmud talks at great length. Mila basela, shtika betray. A word is worth one zuz or one sela, and being quiet is worth even more. Words are very important. When someone says something, even if it's unintentional, but when they say something, it carries great meaning. And when someone hears that, they can take it a whole nother way. You know, Ethics of the Fathers tells wise men to be careful with their words, lest they are misinterpreted. Well, even a well-intentioned word can be misinterpreted. I'm concerned about political leaders who are using negative words, words that get them attention, get them a little more soundbite, get them a little more attention, maybe a few more votes, but get their name in front of the cameras. I'm concerned about people saying negative things in Congress about the Jewish people and about other minorities. I'm concerned about national syndicated papers putting on comments and cartoons that are absolutely abhorrent and doubling down afterwards and saying it's not so bad and it's only those people who are worried and too sensitive about what they hear. And someone then who lives in an odd place and seems to be a good kid. I mean, in the case of Poway, it's a student from a well-established home, religious parents, nursing student, played piano, and yet one word led to another word, led to another word, and somehow it filled his head with hate. Now, his head had to be an empty space, but he heard these words, and these words grew until finally he did something awful, terrible, murder, mayhem, the worst. So I think we have to be very careful because we have a power. God used words to create the world. Worlds have the power to bring unity or disunity. And, you know, we're all responsible a little bit. Sometimes you hear someone say something and it makes you a little uncomfortable, but you don't say anything. Or sometimes you hear a joke and maybe you make a chuckle, but you don't really feel comfortable with that joke. In 2019, you can't do that anymore. It's time to stand up and say, no, I don't like those words. Those words are bringing disunity. Those words are inappropriate. And I think all of us need to stand up and recognize the power of words. And then, and you have to make a difference. We have a responsibility. We're in the category, as you well know, Rabbi, of being a medaber. We're the only species that can speak. And speaking is not only a privilege, but a responsibility. So we have to use the power of words, P-O-W, A-Y, and you have the responsibility to use them correctly.
Okay. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Avram Litvin. He is the head shliach of Lubavitch in Kentucky. There was, I'm sure you never saw it, but before I became religious, there was a very, very poignant movie called Gentleman's Agreement. I'm not sure if you're even familiar with this title, Rabbi Litvin. I'd be surprised if you were. It was done in the late 40s, early 50s. Anybody out there who's watching in can tell me exactly the year it was. But the premise was that there was a magazine which had been accused of having an anti-Semitic slant, and they hired somebody to pretend that they were Jewish. They didn't hire a Jewish person. They hired somebody to pretend that he was Jewish and to go underneath as to what exactly was going on and the different things that are going on. And you have expressions like, and people don't realize that they are pejorative, things like Jew him down, which is, if you look in Webster's dictionary, it just seems, it says make a good bargain. It's like, you know, hello. But so There seems this has been an underlying flavor in the country. I remember someone saying that the difference between the anti-Semitism in Europe and the anti-Semitism in America, and this is going back maybe 30 or 40 years, is that in America the anti-Semitism is under the surface, where in Europe it's like right there in your face. Would you like to care to comment on this idea, Rabbi Litvin?
Well, I think anti-Semitism in Europe began also with the same types of cartoons that we've seen recently, with slowly politicians saying things like we've seen recently. And we have to nip that in the bud, especially in our country that's based on freedom and freedom of religion and freedom to worship and freedom of many areas of life. We have to appeal to the good people of America, of which most are, to be aware of the power of words, to be aware of the power that words lead to ideas and words lead to deeds. I had a situation this week where a councilwoman did exactly what you're mentioning. She used the word Jew me down in a council meeting, talking about getting a better deal and getting a better situation. We contacted her the morning after our event for Poway, and we met with her to educate her about this word. She was extremely apologetic. She had no idea that there was a negative connotation. It never came up in her mind. And she has now committed to be vigilant in using words with a more positive spin, to sharing with others the importance of words. She's joined our campaign, Unite for Light. Unite, the number 4, light.com, of spreading good deeds. And she's totally turned around the way she speaks and the way she talks and the way she interacts in private and public, thanks to being educated about the power of words.
That's incredible. And this is one person who has hopefully an influence, being an elected official, to influence those around her. That's really awesome. You kind of took away my next question for me, but maybe there's other instances. You're located in an area which, when you say Kentucky, people generally aren't thinking of bagels and lox and corned beef sandwiches. I'm not sure how many Jews live in Kentucky per se, but I would think, is there a higher proportion of anti-Semitism in a state like Kentucky than, say, in New York City, which is, they call it Jew York?
I'm actually not sure of that. The average Kentuckian, certainly outside of the big cities, is a believer in God and a believer in goodness. I don't notice anti-Semitism in that way being prevalent in our state, not at all. I'm involved in events throughout the state. I'm involved with elected officials throughout the state, and I do not see any kind of undercurrent of anti-Semitism, although there is often. I'm often the first Jew that people meet. Certainly there's been times that people ask to see the horns under the hat, if they were there or not. But it's usually just a requirement of education to let them understand and to bring people together rather than separating them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who is our mentor, yours and mine, and a lot of other people's, had an idea for, he actually predicted that this country would spiral into wild, unexplained violence, maybe even 40 years ago, and offered a solution then. Let's talk about that, of Rabbi Litvin, about the solution proposed by the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Well, as I mentioned before, Mila Besela, the Talmud says, Shtika betray. If a word is worth one zuz or one sela, then being quiet can often be worth more. The Rebbe came up with a remarkable concept that everyone could relate to, Jew or non-Jew, believer or even non-believer. And that was basically that school has to be more than just imparting knowledge. If we want children to grow up to be, as we would say, mention, then we have to give those children the idea of right and wrong, of morality, of ethics, of recognizing that there's a creator in the world. And being that our country is based on the Judeo-Christian faith, it fit in very well with all people understanding that there's a right and wrong, there's a value to life, there's a value to my own life as a child, there's a value to other people's lives. All people are created in the image of God, and to give that over without any kind of prayer, the Rebbe came up with this idea of moment of silence. So if every public school child would have one moment in the morning, once a day, 60 seconds, and they could either ask their parents or their teachers or their religious leaders, what do I study about? What do I think about during that day? What do I start my day with? And if they could come up with a concept of a belief in a singular God, a God who, an eye that sees, an ear that hears, an awareness that there's right and wrong. It doesn't matter if I can get away with something or I can acquire more or I can gain, you know, the kid, the person who dies with the biggest, with the most toys is the winner. That's not what it's about. It's about there's a God here. There's a purpose to life. And one has to respect other people. And if people could be taught this from an early age, we probably wouldn't have all these terrible shootings and all these terrible events and massacres that are happening because people would just be aware of goodness. Go back to a better time in earlier years.
Okay. Is there, there'd probably be some kind of pushback about introducing any type of God or religion or theology in public school, don't you think, Rabbi Litvin?
Well, I've spoken to many people about it, and sometimes their first knee-jerk reaction is indeed, well, separation of church and state, and we don't want to have prayers, and non-Jewish teachers would bring in other things. But the Rebbe foresaw all this by saying, let's not teach anything during that time. Let's not put in any type of prayer. Let's use a moment of silence. Silence is, by definition, not a prayer. So therefore, any good person, if they believed in God or even if they didn't, could use that time to think about morality, to think about freedom, to think about purpose of life, to think about helping others. If it was combined with putting a penny in a charity box and the concept of helping others in need, that might be even better. If it was combined with some kind of values and ethics, that might be better. But the bottom line is just to give children the concept of there's a creator of the world, there's a purpose of the world, right and wrong exists, and every person is created in the image of God. All values that our country was built on, that would be an appropriate thing to do in public school.
Uh-huh. So what you'd like to do is really start from like the ground up. How young do you think a moment of silence could be implemented? Are we talking ninth grade at the beginning of high school? Are we talking kindergarten? What do you think, Rabbi Litvin?
I would certainly think that from the beginning of the school program, I imagine that means either kindergarten or first grade, when that child comes into a grade, they could certainly have that special time together, a time before they start thinking about how they can grow, how they can acquire more money, how they can acquire more knowledge for a purpose of getting things for themselves, to be aware of others, to be aware of God, to be aware of purpose. I think that at the earliest age, that could help. And then you'd have people having a sense of right and wrong. So when they hear things, they would reject other thoughts. But when you don't have that sense of right or wrong, and you go through life and you're 19 years old, and you've already figured out what you want to do in life, everything sounds great, except you have no conscience. Then when you hear something that someone says inadvertently or worse, some congressperson, some newspaper, some leader, some friend, you don't have any compass to be able to say, no, I won't say that. You have no reason to shed those words. So rather than you accept those words, and words eventually turn into deeds, and then we have the terrible situations that we've been having plaguing this country, across the country, and even beyond our country.
Okay. Let's, again, if you're joining us just now, or if you've been listening the whole time and you don't remember, but this is one of the things we do, is remind people we're speaking with Rabbi Avram Litvin, who is the head Lubavitch Shliach for the state of Kentucky. And we're talking about the aftermath of Poway, California, turning darkness into light, evil into good, etc. You mentioned a couple times about, Rabbi Litvin, about elected officials and their use of speech, and you actually presented a case where you were able to help and affect valuable change. So a lot of the things that you had referred to as far as elected officials are national figures. Do you think there's anything that the average Joe in the street might be able to do, say, with a member of Congress who isn't necessarily their representative or some sort of a national figure, as far as getting them to change their modality of speech?
I would tell you that change starts at home. The first thing needs to be done is that we are more careful and vigilant in our own speech. The second step is to be careful when we hear other people talk in our class, in our group, in our synagogue, wherever we may be. When you hear someone say something that's inappropriate, it's time to stand up and say, no, you don't say those things. I can't hear those things. I don't want to hear those things. And you don't want to say those things. And I think if you call people out, they'll understand. We've evolved into this terrible situation where rhetoric just gets said. We used to say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. Words can cause great hurt and great harm. And we have to be much more careful in the words we use. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, has been broken up into words, daber, that words are like an ocean. And sometimes the ocean is quiet and very serene, very comfortable, very relaxing and peaceful. But other times, an ocean can be stormy. And words can cause the ocean to boil up and be stormy and cause great, great, terrible tragedy in the world. We have to be more careful with our words as one of the steps going forward from Poway.
Understood. Okay. That's going to do it for us. We really appreciate your insights, Rabbi Avram Litvin of Chabad of Kentucky. And we hope next time we call you that we're talking about, this is an upbeat, but something that's essentially upbeat, and we're not converting anything, but we're just taking good and making it better. And wish you and everybody in Kentucky only the best.
Amen. Shabbat.
Take care. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Ari Goldwag, and the song is Via Hafta.
Bless. watching, praying for Mashiach. It will only happen when we all get along. Everyone's waiting for, we should pray for Mashiach. Let's clap one another and break forth in song. Break out in song.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shulton, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Kedoshim. It can be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16 and following. I believe there's something like, I didn't look it up, and it's not on the top of my head, but I think there's like 42 mitzvahs, something like, there's well over 40 commandments in the Parsha. It's just a list, one after the other. The theme being that you should be holy. And then the idea is, well, what does it mean, first of all, to be holy? Well, you could say, you could look at this list of commandments that's there. Of course, there's the idea of being modest is explained over there. And there's also the idea of focusing one's head always to be in the right place. There is a commandment. It's just very, very quickly said. It's half of a verse. And it's actually presented as a negative commandment, as a prohibition that says you're not allowed to allow a witch. Let's start this out with using the word allow twice. You may not allow a witch to live. How's that? Meaning that if there's somebody who's a witch, you have to kill them. Now, this is really freaky if you're just looking at it, because after all, you and I know there's no such things as witches, right? Well, those things that you're thinking about with the ladies with the black hat and the little wart on their nose and flying around on brooms, yeah, that's probably true. There probably are none of those walking around. But it says in the Talmud that the Almighty, in creating the world, gave 10 measures of witchcraft. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the ability to manipulate the forces of nature through and tapping into, listen to this one, the powers of evil. And it says of those 10 measures, however big the measures were, 9 of them were taken by ancient Egypt. And therefore, when the Jews left Egypt at the Exodus 3,300 years ago, and it says that they emptied out Egypt and made it look like an empty fish net, or a net empty of devoid of fish, one of the things they took out there was also all that witchcraft that they had. What was done with it? It just got dispersed and was probably reincorporated back to from whence it came, the creative powers thereof. So there is still a modicum of this idea of being able to tap into the forces of evil. We're not talking about like The Amazing Kreskin or all those other shows, these acts that are in Las Vegas that I've never seen that I just heard about. We're talking about, because those are just sleight of hand and illusion and faking people out. We're talking about actual manipulating the forces of evil for one's own good. What's the deal over here? This is a mitzvah. I guess it's better that it's positive as a prohibition, because if it were to say you have a mitzvah of killing a witch, there'd be a whole lot of people that would never do that commandment. So this way that it's positive as a negative, that you should not allow a witch to live. So I've never allowed a witch to live at this point in my life. So you could say, according to that idea, that I am actually fulfilling that commandment. But what am I supposed to learn from this? How is that supposed to make me a better person? And it really is on, as we've been talking about this whole show, words are based on thoughts. Thoughts are based on desires. So it's true that we have to talk about, we have the power of words and you, yes. But what about the thoughts beforehand? What about the desires of? Where does a person want to focus themselves? Where do they want to put themselves? The Torah says, do you want to be connected to the forces of evil? Or, as the verse at the very beginning of this week's portion says, Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy. Since that's a positive commandment, well, it's a no-brainer. The rule in the Talmudic exegesis is if you have a positive versus a negative, the positive wins, because we always want to do the right thing. So our focus then becomes now. When Rabbi Litvin was mentioning that we have to first start with ourselves. So it's not starting with your speech. It's because once you said something, you can't pull it back. I sucked it back in. No. That means that a person has to be mindful of what they say before they say it. They have to think. When I say this, or once this has been said, what are the ramifications going to be? And this is true of not only one's thoughts, not only one's speech, but also one's deeds, for sure. And affects us in the slightest, littlest thing. I'll give a very mundane example. Okay, you open up the freezer, you see the quart of ice cream over there, you take the teaspoon, and you sit down in front of the couch, you channel surf, and without thinking, the quart of ice cream is gone. But it was only a teaspoon at a time. Where was the mindfulness? I don't know anybody who has teaspooned a quart of ice cream and said, boy, I wish I had another one. I would do another one of these so fast. No, most people, when they get through doing that and they realize, oh, what did I do? Nobody feels good about it. So the idea of this mindfulness that a person has to do in order to be holy is think, how am I going to feel after I do this? And think that before they do this. And then come up to determine, should I do this then? That's true with the quart of ice cream. It's true with everything that we say. How are people going to react? And very often, a lot of it is, as Rabbi Litvin pointed out, when using pejorative terms, it's all very much based on environment and education. Were people raised in an environment where pejorative phrases were the norm? And for the most part, the answer is yes. All of us have been raised and aren't even aware that this expression is hurtful speech. So for that now, okay, so that's like my job here on the radio. Don't use those words that are hurtful to other people. And I can't list them on the radio because then it'll get reported in the news that Rabbi Finman said the following pejorative terms. So I'm not going to do that. But we're going to take it one step further. Why is it that a person is thinking the thoughts that they're thinking? Oh, that's already a very deep concept. Can you control what you think? The answer is you betcha. And not only that, but you have to. Because it's the thinking, the ruminating, as Rabbi Litvin pointed out, that this person who perpetrated this dastardly deed last week, good home, religious parents, even took piano lessons, had an empty head. Okay. We have to be in charge of what we allow in our heads, even. And if a thought pops up in our head, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote a book, which is a way of guiding one through life, says that if you are thinking a thought you don't like, push it out of your head with two hands. And the easiest way is just to say to yourself, stop, I don't want to think that thought. And get to the point where a person might even not want to. Changing your desires is very, very hard. And it's not really expected of us. You can like lots of things, but you don't have to act on them. But Hargal Nasiteva is the expression. If we keep on practicing at it, then eventually it'll become so bristly and offensive to us that when we hear these things, that we will react, even though we were raised with them. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. What will you find there at Rabbi Finman? Well, right on the homepage, you'll find a contact link. You won't have to go looking down. I hate that so much. I had to contact a bunch of museums for a project that I'm working on, and their contact is just like, you're a public institution. You want people to contact you. It's just like buried deep in the website, like page upon page. Oh, I found it. My wife, she should live to be 120, doesn't even want to do it. She says, no, it's just, I figured out a system where I can kind of figure it out where it might be. On the rabbifinman.com, it's right on the homepage. It's like right there. You contact me, I contact you. We become best friends forever, and everybody lives happily ever after. Any comment, question, criticism, quote, query, or otherwise is always welcome. And if you're listening to this and you have something, I usually get to the mail. I have to sit down at the computer on Sundays afternoon and take care of all of the things involved with the radio show. And if you have written me a letter by then, I will respond like immediately during the week. It's getting less and less that I'm actually sitting at my computer. Jewish Ferndale is really taking up. Coming up, really, if you want to put on your calendar for Jewish Ferndale, May 16th at 7:30, we will be talking about, this has been in planning actually for about 2 months. This is part of our bi-monthly discussion sessions, or seminars, as you would call them, where every month we bring in a panel and we discuss some sort of important topic. Last time was the women's role in society. This time we're talking about the two faces of anti-Semitism. meaning anti-Semitism from the right-wing conservatives and anti-Semitism from the left-wing liberals. And we'll be featured on the panelists Julie Edgar, who is going to be the elected councilwoman from the city of Oak Park, as she submitted a petition, and she's actually running on opposing. I want to congratulate Julie Edgar on her victory and saving lots of money that she doesn't need to actually campaign because she's the only one running. Yes. And she's going to be there, as well as Professor Howard Lupovich, who is the chairman of the Cohen Hadow Judaic Center at Wayne State University, and also Carolyn Normandine, who is the director of the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League. And that is open to the public again. That's May the 16th, 7:30 at Jewish Ferndale, 1725 Pinecrest Drive. Parking will be on premise. They are doing construction on the street. You might have to park around the corner, but no biggie. The sidewalks will be passable. I was assured by those people working on the streets. What else? I got sidetracked over there. What else will you find on RabbiFinman.com? You'll find the archived editions of the show. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which yours truly makes Judaism interesting, entertaining, and fun. You'll also find the very important donations page. Yes. It is May. We are still owing for March, April, and now May. So we get 3 months, we get 90 days. They kind of like okay with that. And then after that, it's like they get kind of nervous over here at Salem Communications. But we've been here. We've been doing this every month for the last 24 years. We get a little behind. Then, as I always tell people, it's better to be a little behind than a big behind. And we people like you step up, get to the computer, make a donation at the donations page at RabbiFinman.com. Any amount. If you'd like, you can make it so that it's a monthly thing. If you've got a PayPal account, it's all through PayPal, which is like one of the securest ways of giving. So it can come out monthly. You don't even have to think about it. It just does it. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful platform. If you don't like internet giving, understood, as our pledge from Jerry of Spex Howard of Spex Howard School of Broadcast so eloquently said, send your donation for any amount to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Our story involves, I prepared this story actually before this whole thing happened, and involves an individual who was not specifically a student of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but had heard about the Lubavitcher Rebbe and had been living in Israel. His family moved to America. And he, his wife got very sick. When she got very sick, someone said, a Lubavitcher friend said, you can write to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, I don't believe in such things. So he said, listen, your wife is sick. And she was having some kind of serious back problem. And they were talking about operating on her back. And this is a story that happened back in the late 60s, I believe, when back surgery was not what it is today. And today is not so great either. And so he wrote the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that if your wife begins lighting Shabbos candles on Friday night and this year usher in this Shabbos, it'll have a positive effect on her. And so he just went poo-poo, you know, like, ah. But she took it seriously, said, what have I got to lose? She started lighting Shabbos candles, and her back problems went away to the point where, not fully, but to the point where she did not need an operation. It was all agreed. Sometime later, she became pregnant. And the doctor said that her back is in no condition to maintain a pregnancy. It's not going to happen. You have to terminate the pregnancy. So at this point, they were living in New York, and they requested a blessing from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they went in, and the Rebbe told them that there's absolutely nothing that they have to worry about. The baby will be born healthy. Okay, and this is the way it was. But in his note that he wrote to the Rebbe, He put in like a little trailer, and because he was not a believer, and said, is God really care about the details? Does God care how I tie my shoes? Does God care if I turn a light on Shabbos? And the Rebbe looked at him and said, I don't understand your question. Because the Almighty has established a road by which we can make, which we can create a connection to the Almighty. The Almighty loves us and therefore has given us this prescription by which we can get close to the Almighty. And every act that we do or do not do brings us that much closer to holiness. That's going to do it for today. The music that you hear, which we'll be closing with behind this, that is the Lulaval Rebbe, who passed away at age 96 this last week. He was the last Rebbe from Europe to who was alive as the oldest Rebbe in the world. And now he's passed on. He's been succeeded by his grandson, whose last name is Taub. I don't remember his first name. And this is a song that he was his favorite song, and we're closing out. Take care. Have a good one.